Chapter 13. Supernatural Agent was a large raven, who had perched upon the top of the easy chair, unseen by him and Edward, and listened with a polite attention, and a most extraordinary appearance of comprehending every word, to all they had said up to this point, turning his head from one to the other, as if his office were to judge between them, and it were of the very last importance, that he should not lose a word. Look at him. ' said Varden, divided between admiration of the bird, and a kind of fear of him. Was there ever such a knowing imp as that? Oh, he's a dreadful fellow. The raven, with his head very much on one side, and his bright eye shining like a diamond, preserved a thoughtful silence for a few seconds, and then replied in a voice so hoarse and distant, that it seemed to come through his thick feathers, rather than out of his mouth. Halloa, halloa, halloa. What's the matter here? Keep up your spirits. Never say die. Bow wow wow. I'm a devil, I'm a devil, I'm a devil. Hurrah! And then, as if exulting in his infernal character, he began to whistle. I more than half believe he speaks the truth. Upon my word I do, said Varden. Do you see how he looks at me, as if he knew what I was saying? To which the bird, balancing himself on tiptoe, as it were, and moving his body up and down in a sort of grave dance, rejoined, I'm a devil, I'm a devil, I'm a devil, and flapped his wings against his sides, as if he were bursting with laughter. Barnaby clapped his hands, and fairly rolled upon the ground in an ecstasy of delight. Strange companions, sir, said the locksmith, shaking his head, and looking from one to the other. The bird has all the wit. Strange indeed. Said Edward, holding out his forefinger to the raven, who, in acknowledgement of the attention, made a dive at it immediately with his iron bill. Is he old? A mere boy, sir, replied the locksmith. 120, or thereabouts. Call him down, Barnaby, my man. Echoed Barnaby, sitting upright upon the floor, and staring vacantly at Gabriel, as he thrust his hair back from his face. But who can make him come? He calls me, and makes me go where he will. He goes on before, and I follow. He's the master, and I'm the man. Is that the truth, Grip? The raven gave a short, comfortable, confidential kind of croak, a most expressive croak, which seemed to say, you needn't let these fellows into our secrets. We understand each other. It's all right. I make him come? Cried Barnaby, pointing to the bird. Him, who never goes to sleep, or so much as winks. Why, any time of night, you may see his eyes in my dark room, shining like two sparks. And every night, and all night too, he's broad awake, talking to himself, thinking what he shall do tomorrow, where we shall go, and what he shall steal, and hide, and bury. I make him come. Ha ha ha! On second thoughts, the bird appeared disposed to come of himself. After a short survey of the ground, and a few sidelong looks at the ceiling, and at everybody present in turn, he fluttered to the floor, and went to Barnaby not in a hop, or walk, or run, but in a pace like that of a very particular gentleman with exceedingly tight boots on, trying to walk fast over loose pebbles. Then, stepping into his extended hand, and condescending to be held out at arm's length, he gave vent to a succession of sounds, not unlike the drawing of some 8 or 10 dozen of long corks, and again asserted his brimstone birth and parentage with great distinctness. The locksmith shook his head perhaps in some doubt of the creatures, being really nothing but a bird perhaps in pity for Bamaby, who by this time had him in his arms, and was rolling about, with him, on the ground. As he raised his eyes from the poor fellow he encountered those of his mother, who had entered the room, and was looking on in silence. She was quite white in the face, even to her lips, but it only subdued her emotion, and wore her usual quiet look. Varden fancied as he glanced at her, that she shrunk from his eye, and that she busied herself about the wounded gentleman, to avoid him the better. It was time he went to bed, she said. He was to be removed to his own home on the morrow, and he had already exceeded his time for sitting up, by a full hour. Acting on this hint, the locksmith prepared to take his leave. By the by, apostrophe said Edward, as he shook him by the hand, and looked from him to Mrs. Rudge and back again, what noise was that below? I heard your voice in the midst of it, and should have inquired before, but our other conversation drove it from my memory. What was it? ... The locksmith looked towards her, and bit his lip. She leant against the chair, and bent her eyes upon the ground. Barnaby too, he was listening. Some matter drunken fellow, sir, ... Varden at length made answer, looking steadily at the widow as he spoke. He mistook the house, and tried to force an entrance. ... She breathed more freely, but stood quite motionless. As the locksmith said good night, ... and Barnaby caught up the candle, to light him down the stairs, she took it from him, and charged him with more haste and earnestness than so slight an occasion appeared to warrant not to stir. The raven followed them to satisfy himself that all was right below, and when they reached the street door, stood on the bottom stair drawing corks out of number. With a trembling hand she unfastened the chain and bolts, and turned the key. As she had her hand upon the latch, the locksmith said in a low voice, I have told a lie tonight, for your sake, Mary, and for the sake of bygone times and old acquaintance, when I would scorn to do so for my own. I hope I may have done no harm, or led to none. I can't help the suspicions you have forced upon me, and I am loth, I tell you plainly, to leave Mr. Edward here. Take care he comes to no hurt. I doubt the safety of this roof, and am glad he leaves it so soon. Now, let me go. ... For a moment she hid her face in her hands and wept, but resisting the strong impulse which evidently moved her to reply, opened the door no wider than was sufficient for the passage of his body, and motioned him away. As the locksmith stood upon the step, it was chained and locked behind him, and the raven, in furtherance of these precautions, barked like a lusty house dog. In league with that ill-looking figure that might have fallen from a gibbety listening and hiding here Barnaby first upon the spot last night, can she who has always borne so fair a name be guilty of such crimes in secret? ... Said the locksmith, musing. Heaven forgive me, if I am wrong, and send me just thoughts. But she is poor, the temptation may be great, and we daily hear of things as strange. Eh, bark away, my friend. If there's any wickedness going on, that raven's in it, I'll be sworn. ... Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.